In Magic the Gathering, offenses against the community are considered especially heinous. The dedicated podcast fans who investigate these crimes are members of an elite squad known as the Special Victims Unit. These are their stories.
Welcome back to your SVU cast, and tonight we have a... We're kind of getting back to our roots. We're back with a special guest, and we're going to explore and see what makes him tick. But before we get there, we got to make sure we make everyone aware that, as usual, Mike, the Robot Large, is here. I'm here with Josh.
Good evening.
Factory.
Or morning, whenever you will be listening to this, afternoon, I suppose.
Probably just proxying it up. I'm sure you're making proxies as we speak.
You'd hear it. That'd be too bad.
Yeah, I could be.
I got enough to do.
Tonight's extra special because we opened up a third seat around the table here as far as hosting goes, and we brought our man, the audio guy, out of the shadows. Jason, welcome.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, good, good. Finally got you on the cast.
Yeah, finally front of house.
Yeah.
You were so determined to avoid being on the cast, you even went so far as to have a baby.
I really tried.
Awesome. Well, let's just jump right into this. Tonight we have a guest around the table with us. We were laughing a minute earlier. We don't really know much about him yet, but we're going to poke and prod and see what we can find out about this guy. We have Ryan, one of the co-hosts from Pit Imps.
Hey, what up, what up?
How's it going?
Ah, dude, I'm on the fucking fan cast, man. It's great. I got my favorite beer beside me.
Nice.
Josh, Jason, Mike here to talk to. Should be some fucking fun, man.
Yeah, we'll have a little chat here. So your Twitter handle is at brother... Well,
it's Brother Yan. Some Asian guy took the name, so I couldn't really work with Brother Ryan. So
you took the Asian sounding.
Exactly. See, what I need to do is get a hold of this Asian guy and work out some sort of trade.
Yeah, exactly.
And flip it over, but it hasn't happened yet. So,
oh man.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm Twitter handle pales in comparison to your Skype handle.
Yeah, Sex Panther.
That's that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
of all the guests we've had on here, I think that's the best Skype handle so far.
It's you know, SVU, they like their Anchorman references, so yeah. That's just another one. So
you betcha. So I mean, let's just start with let's find out who you are. What makes you tick? Let's start with your magic pedigree. Like what are you doing out there in the community? What makes you you?
Well, I mean, basically, just been a co-host on Pit Imps for about the last year or so. Mm-hmm. Started around episode 25 with them, kind of just as a guest. But I study the shit out of Standard. That's kind of my game right there. I love Standard. I know a lot of people hate on Standard. I'm getting into Modern, so don't give me too much shit. I'm expanding my horizons.
You won't get too much shit from me because I'm pretty much exclusively a Standard guy.
Standard guy. Yeah, I know that about you. But Modern. I am expanding my horizons. The Standard's kind of my thing. It's something I follow real closely. Just the little tweaks of the metagame, things like that, really interest me. When people are bored, to death with Mono Black Devotion last Standard, I was excited trying to find out what removal package was best for that weekend. Like,
right.
You know, that's just my thing. So I went on there as a guest, and they were kind of, I guess real impressed with my knowledge of the Standard game or whatever. And I was kind of like the super fan of the Pit Imps, and they just brought me back. And then I ended up fucking Angelo got stuck with me. So
nice.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Happen to me. I was like a super fan for heavy meta, and they just wouldn't keep me around, so I had to start my own.
Yeah, they didn't even keep, you even lost a shout out.
I know.
That's how they're hand-kept super fan status.
Now I get like a pity shout out every now and then.
I don't know if they shouted out in the last episode or not, Mike. I thought they did.
You know what? I haven't listened to the one from Friday yet. I usually save it for Mondays. It jazzes up my Monday mornings.
I think Money Draft is shouting you out more than Heavy Meta is now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They might be doing that just because heavy meta isn't, though.
I have a hard time listening to Money Draft because it's as much as I can sometimes sneak enough time at work to listen to heavy meta. I just can't listen to so many casts where the language is a little loose, let's say.
Right. I have that issue too.
It's hard to listen constantly to at work unless I'm alone in the office, which doesn't happen.
Yeah, those arrogant pricks over at Money Draft. Yeah. No, you know, I'm getting much love. We recently had Jason Ault was on episode 84. Y'all should check that out. That was recently. Nice. We had Slick Jagger on an episode recently as well. Slick was, that's one of my favorite guests of all time that we've had on the show there. He was awesome.
Dude, he's the man.
Awesome. So. Yeah. Money Draft, yeah, that's a great new cast. Speaking of new casts, and the Pit Imps, I will be, Angelo's taking the show in a new direction after episode 100, for those of you listening that may already know because you listen to this and Pit Imps and all that shit or whatever. After episode 100, going separate ways. It's all amicable and everything. That's my brother, you know what I mean? It's no hard feelings, anything like that, but I'm starting my own thing, and we've been recording the last couple weeks, so... listeners, be on the lookout for Cast from Exile, the new cast from me and a couple of the guys in the posse that y'all have been asking about.
Nice.
So we're doing that. We're recording every week, and I'm just getting my editing skills down and shit like that and trying to put out something quality, so be looking forward to that. We should have a couple episodes releasing this week, so.
Awesome.
Nice. Where are we going to find those?
MTG Cast, of course.
Nice. Of course. Okay. So. Sweet.
Well, and then unless, you know, Brainstorm Brewery or somewhere, you know, wants to pick it up.
Yeah, you know, maybe a sponsor or two might pop their head out.
Right.
Yeah, be fine with that too.
Yeah,
so.
No kidding. So, I mean, whereabouts are you from? Where are you now?
Dude, I'm from all over the place. I was born West Coast, lived in Colorado, lived in Indy for a while. I've been in the Midwest for a bit, lived in Chicago, finished high school up in Chicago, around Josh there.
Yep.
And then I'm down in central Illinois right now. So, which, not much to do around here, but the Magic scene is good. Our local gaming shop has a great environment, great group of guys. Shout out to the dudes and Team Come. They always finish second. That's the motto. Those guys are doing their thing. We put a lot of guys in, there's been a lot of SCG opens recently here in the Midwest. We've had a lot of guys from the shop finishing the top eight, but no one's brought it home yet. So
they'll get there.
Guys like, Hayden Passarelli finished second in a recent Legacy open.
Yeah.
Kevin Wang actually took down an event recently. So yeah, I do take that back. We do have a guy that's pulled one out. So the Magic scene around here is good in spite of, you know, it being central Illinois. There's not much to
say.
Well,
you get a lot of colleges.
Yeah, that's true.
So
thank God.
You're not far from U of I or Illinois State, and where there are college kids, there are going to be Magic players. So
yeah. And just smart in general, which I like to be around. So, it's a real liberal community. So,
oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
I like that. So
yeah. So what led to you moving around so much? Just chasing work? Just, or?
Basically, my dad was a fuck off man. I mean, what can I say? I mean, just growing up, man, life was rough, dude. I'm, you know, I hard knock life kind of shit. I don't want to talk sob stories and stuff like that. My dad was addicted to drugs and shit, living out of cars and stuff till I was like 13. You know, food stamps and shit, you name it. I grew up, I was the only white kid in my school, like through eighth grade. You know what I mean? Like
wow.
just used to get my ass beat. You know what I mean? My dad moved around and shit, and I lived a bunch with family. I moved to Illinois initially as a little kid, lived with my grandma, and then moved to Indy, lived out there with some family and stuff, and then, you know, bounced around. So, yeah.
So you feel like you're sort of settled now, or have you got plans to move around some more?
Oh, man, I don't know. I would love to live out in Colorado. I got family out there too. I would like to move. Denver would not be. The thing is, my girlfriend is, she's got a pretty nice contract with the state here. She works in education, but at the state level, she's in school. She does teaching, but she also, it's hard to explain. I guess I would call her position like a migrant advocate with the state.
Okay.
She makes sure we get a lot of migrant workers here in the area, obviously farming community or whatnot.
Right.
And she basically goes out on behalf of the state, makes sure these people are, you know, putting, they have to register their kids for school and stuff like that. A lot of these people will, they just, they want their kids to work in the field with them all day or whatever.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
Right. Right.
It's a tough job. She does, I mean, it's a job. I don't like her doing it because she has to go out a lot by herself and stuff and sketchy places or whatever. But so the contract she has, I know her grant runs up through this next summer. So, I mean, we're stuck here for now.
Right. Well, it's, at least she's doing, you know, I mean, it's sad to say that it's a little more dangerous than it should be, but at least she's doing good work anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's for the kids or whatever. Yeah. So
I'm all about the kids, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
sweet. So what about yourself? Are you going to school? Are you working? Or?
Oh, no. I finished with school. I graduated in 2012. Just, I got a degree in history, man. Biggest mistake ever. So don't get a degree in history. Can't recommend that. So, yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of not a lot of work for history guys.
I mean, restaurants will hire you.
Yeah.
But you gotta, you really gotta get like, you really gotta get a master's or something or go into education. Right. Education is a, that's what I was doing initially. And I really got jaded with the public school system. I actually dropped out of the ed program my last semester of senior year. So literally the semester I was doing student teaching, my field placement the fall semester before that, I was just done with the education system. It's just terrible. I really didn't want to be a part of it. I didn't like it. I didn't like how systematic it was, how we were teaching kids, how it's so much about just this rote memorization bullshit. Get them through, get them out of here. You know, just remember a bunch of some bullshit so you could pass a test. We're not teaching our kids how to critically think, how to really analyze things. And it just wasn't an environment. And I don't mesh well with like bureaucratic structures anyways. So the whole school system is kind of just one of those giant bureaucracies. So.
Right. Well, and I mean, education in general is one of those things where if you don't love it, you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, and props to those people that are in education and can do it, but it's just so pre-planned. Like they'd have all these tests and you don't get to come up with questions yourself.
Yeah.
It's all like, why teach? You could have a robot come in and do this pre-programmed curriculum. That's, you know.
Yeah, I can definitely feel that because I've got a son. He's only 13 and he's in the school system. Even up here in Canada, it's the same thing. There's just, I'm very frustrated with how they're teaching them and what they're teaching him. And we do a lot of work at home just to try and bring some balance to what he's being taught.
Yeah. Public school is at an interesting crossroads right now. I know Josh up in Chicago, you know, seeing the growth of charter schools and stuff.
Well, the issue there is the curriculum, like you're saying, through grade 8 is the same for every public school. So there's no advanced placement. So if you have an exemplary student, they're bored all the way up until they finally get to start doing the advanced placement in high school. And it creates this gap of very intelligent, bored kids because, you know, at the beginning of the year, they're rehashing things they learned 2 years ago. So they're just sitting there doing nothing. And it's the No Child Left Behind, but it's less about the ones who are struggling sometimes and more about the ones who aren't having those issues, kind of having to sit there and slog through the same stuff over and over. And it's limiting their potential and their growth at younger ages because of the way that the school system is.
Yeah.
It's not the best way of doing it.
Yeah, I find the No Child Left Behind just means force them through.
Well, yeah, for the ones that are struggling, absolutely. But for instance, you know, my grandson just turned 14. He's in eighth grade, and it's a pushover. It's too easy for him, and he doesn't get the challenges, and he's not going to get the challenges until he gets to high school. So,
and he's going to get in trouble. See, that was me, man. Just never challenged and shit by teachers. I felt in high school I was smarter than a lot of my fucking teachers, and just I ended up getting in a lot of trouble and just drugs and shit like that. Because, I mean, I was just bored at school. I just, you know, there was no challenge to it, basically. And once I cleaned my shit up eventually, and then I actually ended up qualifying, getting a scholarship to the U of I. So, you know, just on my, on, you know, intelligence based. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you don't challenge these kids. And then that's why everybody's ADHD now. It's just, no, it's these kids are just fucking bored because they're not learning anything. You're not teaching them anything. I coached football. I didn't coach this season. I just, you know, too much going on in life and stuff and the podcasting and whatnot. But the last five seasons, and it's amazing what you could teach kids and what they pick up on, how fast. I mean, they really are sponges. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I don't have any, because the shit they would see and pick up on around here, fuck a kid up.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, even here, like up in Canada, we don't have the whole, you know, fancy title of No Kid Left Behind, but it's the same principles are being applied here. And, you know, there's here in British Columbia where I live, actually there was a big strike for the first 3 weeks of school. And part of the concern was around kids that need extra assistance. And like my son's one of them. He's got speech and language issues. And, you know, is behind his peer group. So I'm very in tune with what they are and aren't doing in our school system. And it's really obvious to even me that they're not servicing anybody. Like, my kid isn't getting enough. Kids that are worse than him are not getting enough. And the kids at the higher levels, like you say, the ones that aren't being challenged, they're getting screwed as well. And I honestly don't know who the hell's getting, you know, a decent education. Maybe somewhere in the middle, there's like a 2 percentile group that are getting what they need. But,
yeah, you know,
for all the worry that they say that, you know, oh, we can't, you know, leave these kids that need help behind. Well, then where the hell is all this effort and money going? Because they're not getting what they need either.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They just want, they want there to, you know, the most in the mean, right?
Yeah.
They want median for everyone, and they want the kids who have struggles to pull forward, and they want the kids who are exemplary to pull back a bit. It's just, I don't know. I can't understand the policymakers when they're doing things like that.
It's a strange failing system. I mean, we're behind high school graduation numbers right now. We're behind fucking Poland, of all places. Poland, the country that stupid jokes are made after. Poland beating us in high school graduation rates. It's just, it's amazing. So,
yeah.
It's very, in very each generation, we're losing an average like 2 to 3 IQ points a generation. We really are. I mean, you see the movie Idiocracy or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if that's what we're becoming. I had a kid when I had that terrible field placement, my last semester in that program, I had a kid try to argue with me, literally argue with me that Martin Luther King Jr. freed the slaves. Just would not listen to any.
Wow.
Any fact I could show him, the Emancipation Proclamation. No.
Crazy.
1950s, Martin Luther King. Crazy. Just, yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it's a very interesting movie. I know a lot of people just sort of would blow it off as like, oh, that's just a comedy, it's not really my thing, or that maybe they love it for being a comedy. I don't know that everybody gets the social commentary that's buried in there, because in the area that I live in, I mean, I've had this conversation with my friends many times, like, this is what's going on. I mean, people that are undereducated are pumping out babies, like, at 10 to 1 rates of the people that are educated.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's the dumbest people have the most fucking kids. I have friends that have like 4 or 5 kids, and she got no fucking business having just a child, period. Just stupid.
It's such a waste of potential. I mean, all of these kids, every one of them has the potential to be great, and they're just not.
Yeah, I mean, their parents lack the resources and, you know, societal problems and all kinds of factors. But it is, and, you know, when people complain about taxes for immigrant kids and stuff, what about this lady in the Appalachian Mountains shitting out 30 fucking babies? You don't mind paying for that? Like, you know what I mean?
It's definitely a problem. And, you know, our school system here is just overrun with kids that need extra help. And there's never going to be enough for all of them. Yeah. There just never is.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, on some magic news, Melissa DeTora looks like is forced. They got a game 3 going on here in the semifinals. If anyone is watching the GP. So
nice.
Down in Orlando. So I'm a big
I wanted to go to that.
Big Melissa DeTora fan.
Yeah, me too.
She's playing in the finals?
She's in the semifinals running. She drafted Teamer for the top eight. She seemed to get a pretty decent build. So this Sol Malka guy, though, he's been on fire all weekend, and that's who she's faced off now. So he's kind of been the bully of the tournament. We'll see what happens. I had no idea that Melissa DeTora was dating Frank Lepore. Apparently, they're an item, and they got to draw into the top eight together in the last round of the tournament.
Yeah, that's like almost romantic or shit.
Yeah.
Right? I thought, but isn't her Twitter name like, all we do is win MTG, and it's like her and another dude? And then today, it was like, what, she's with Frank Lepore? I don't know, man.
That was her old boyfriend, I believe.
Oh, see, this is girly gossip. We don't need to get into it.
It's hard enough to keep up with cards and deck lists. I don't want to keep up with sex lives.
Who's dating who in the Magic? Who get the fuck? I don't give a shit. I thought I didn't know that. I don't know. It's just weird. So
yeah, I hope she takes it all the way. I'm definitely a fan of hers.
Yeah, I just chicks repping the Magic scene. Period. Like I get shit all the time. My girlfriend Megan just miles ahead of me. In game skill, I might know that, like, I'll have the set memorized or whatever, but before she does, or maybe know more of the cards or whatever. When it comes to sitting down and playing and we're sequencing spells and just seeing two or three turns ahead, she's very good, man. She's a very good player. She wrecks face, you know, weekly at our shop.
Nice.
Very respected. She's gone from, you know, girls they come in, they get, you know, they're either just not respected, their opponents, usually, first of all, she really likes to take advantage. A lot of guys just play lax
when
sits in the classroom because they think it's going to be easy match and they just don't think as much as they should. They play a little faster than they should, I guess. Just praise
them. Think it's going to be a win, right?
You know, so they don't do that anymore. People look at her a lot differently. She gets a lot of people asking for advice. So I ask her for deck building. She's into modern and shit and playing Malira Pod and whatever. I'm not good enough yet.
Man, you're incredibly lucky to have somebody, you know, a partner that will play at all, let alone be that good.
Very, very true.
And she's hot.
Extremely true.
So. Wow. Being hot doesn't help.
H. Meggers on Twitter. Follow her, guys. Yeah, she's a cutie too, so that makes it even better. And,
well, that's like just a double whammy when she sits down at the table because, I mean, guys will write her off just as a female, but if she's good looking, then she makes them all nervous. So.
Did you see how many free cards she gets? People literally give her cards.
Yeah.
I never thought to get, like, I would never give a chick cards. Like, people have actually given her cards. Like, who does that? Like, it's weird to me, man. It's mind-boggling. But people, we don't have enough respect for women in this game. I know we talked about it on Cast from Exile a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if you guys saw Mero's Tumblr, where he just was pissed, went on this rant 3 or 4 weeks back about a couple that had gone to like their very first pre-release. It was her first experience with Magic, and basically the guys at the shop weirded her out so much, were just so like indifferent to her or whatever, that they left. They had such a bad time. They made this chick leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's horrible.
Dude. If you got a problem when you walk in your LGS and see chicks hanging out, you're the fucking problem. No, who's complaining about that? You know what I mean? We need more chicks in the game. I don't know anyone who would have an issue with that. I just, the more hot chicks, the better. Bring them on.
Exactly.
So.
We're always thrilled when one walks in the door because we like to joke that there's like a force field at the door that just repels chicks. Because
right?
Lots of times they'll step inside, take a look, and then turn around and go right back out again.
Well, you have to make it through the neck beard force field.
Exactly.
It is like it has a thin embryo. Once you get through it, you're in there.
I just don't know what some of these guys are thinking. I mean, you want the women around because they bring more women.
Yeah, so we have,
come on.
At cons, this guy and his girlfriend, cute ass girl too. She was cute. They're at the counter. They're getting ready to pay for pre-release or whatever. And the three or four jackasses at the table sitting next to me and my girlfriend are literally ranking this girl 1 to 10.
Oh, man.
All kinds of inappropriate comments and shit, right? And they were way off. First of all, this chick was way finer than any of them were giving credit. Probably because they wouldn't know what to do with her if they had it in the fucking first place. And, you know, so they're just talking shit or whatever, just haters being haters. And my girl looks at him and goes, if we're judging people, isn't anyone here better than a 2 or a 3?
Nice.
And just like shut him right up.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got no patience for that. I ripped a strip down one guy. That was last year. We had two, you know, fairly young, you know, women show up for, you know, they seemed like they'd played magic at home. They were kind of just testing out the waters at the LGS. And then one of them just starts just hitting on them, one of the girls, like blatant. And I didn't see it until I heard the stories afterwards.
That's weird, bro.
And they never came back. And I tore that guy a new fucking asshole and told him that, you know, if I ever catch him doing that again, he's just not going to be welcome.
That's not why they go there.
Yeah.
It's not why they're there. And most chicks playing in the game, let's be honest, they're playing because their boyfriends do anyways.
Right.
They're not, you know, the single type, so to speak. But still, that, you know, that's not why they're going there. And that's, you know, you can give them the same respect you would anyone else, I guess.
Yeah, just treat them like human beings, right?
Yeah. I mean, the funniest thing is walking into a place, like we'll go up north. I don't know, Josh, you ever play at Pastimes?
Oh, not since the very early days of the game. Well, I don't really play competitively anymore, but no. Even in 96, 97, they had the reputation for not being somewhere that you really wanted to spend too much time at.
They still have that reputation, I think. They have like one bathroom in the shop, and they'll have like 200 person tournaments in one bathroom. Man. If you can
imagine.
They
ran GP Chicago with one bathroom for 2,500 people. So,
Jesus.
And then they tried to schedule a GP in Indianapolis the same weekend of the Indianapolis 500. So they don't really, you know, think these things through very frequently, it seems.
Yeah, that's not that smart. So SCG's done that too before, though. I actually missed out on an open in Indy because they had all of like 8 blocks around the convention center was closed. You couldn't drive a car into it. There was some like marathon or some shit.
Oh.
And we show up in the morning, you know, to check into our hotel and then go over and register for the event. And you couldn't get anywhere near the hotel. We were staying right across at the West End, right attached to the convention center. Couldn't get anywhere near it. And ended up, you know, missing the event. So that stuff happens. But yeah, you should have better planning than that. Pastimes runs a lot of events in the Chicago area, but I've completely stopped supporting them, stopped going there. So yeah, it's surprising that they've managed to stay in business so long. That's funny you say they've had that same reputation since 96. So, but we'll go to places like that, you know, or bigger tournament scenes. And it's funny, like the heads, it's just like watching a sea of heads turn. It's so
yeah, and what a great welcome to, you know, one of the rare females in the room is when the whole room turns around to leer at them.
Yeah, that's just a recipe for a quick exit, really, right?
She's like, it's so funny. The other week, she's like, I want to walk down the aisle because, like, she'll walk down and everyone's, like, heads will turn. She's like, I want to just stop and see if, like, people just stop and, like, maybe look forward like, and then resume walking and see what happens.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for cons to be here though.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, Standard's your game, so what do you think of the way Standard's kind of, it's in its infancy again? What do you think of where it's headed?
Well, so the first week there was like the top 32 decks, 31 of them I think had coursers in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all green all the time, coursers, pretty, carry added.
Pretty boring. I liked what I saw in New Jersey. New Jersey, though, they love their fucking American, French, whatever, red, white, blue, whatever, Patriot, whatever you want to call it. They love those. I wasn't surprised to see Jeskai show up in the top eight there. Is it okay to call it Jeskai? Is that like SVU approved?
I don't know yet.
Are we on? I know Maddie and Kevy haven't.
I think the only one that they have mentioned is Abzan is Azkaban. That's about it.
Yeah.
But then it's all Azban, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm so torn on these names. Like, I don't know where we're going to be like a year from now, whether we're still going to be saying these fucking names or not.
See, I wasn't around when they came out with Esper and Naya and all those shards, but those stuck, so.
Yeah, but they roll off the tongue a whole lot easier than the cons ones do.
I think
and some people still want to call it junk and bug because it's easier to remember.
And they may stick because, I mean, SCG, who's obviously, you know, one of the big dogs in the tournament scene, are going out of their way to use those names. So, I mean, there's a good chance they're going to stick. They just work their way into the lingo of the...
Yeah, they're already chain all the deck list names on SCG's list. Already.
To some degree, that's not a bad thing. It might not be something that seasoned players want to see. They might want to call it what it has been called. But someone new to the game, that's what they're calling. They don't know that it's rug. They're going to go, why would you call that rug? Well, it's red and blue and green.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They don't get it. They know it as whatever it is in con. So yeah, I can understand going that route, but I don't know.
So do you think this Jeskai deck has legs? I mean, it seems like the meta is going to adjust pretty quickly to combat this thing.
I like it a lot, but I do think this might be a flash in the pan. I think the tempo deck we're going to see is the one that hasn't been figured out yet. And I'm not just saying that because it's a deck I'm working on, but it really is the tempo deck I think that we're going to get out of this standard format, and that's Teemer. I think Teemer has more of the tools to be the tempo deck, and I think Teemer has one of the best finishers a control deck gets now that Aetherling's gone in the Savage Knuckle Monkey, Savage Knuckle Blade, whatever.
I haven't had a chance to play with him yet, but you know, my instinct when I first saw the card told me he was the real deal, but just in the right deck. Like, he's not going to be that universal card.
Yeah, I think he's a great finisher in a tempo, you know, a Teemer tempo shell. And I think that's the tempo deck we're going to get after the Pro Tour. I think that's what'll show up. I know people have messed with Teemer monsters. I don't think that's correct. I do think that Teemer wants to be more on the tempo plan. I love the new Force Spike. What is that? Disdainful Stroker. There's two new counter spells that are both really good in the Teemer deck. The one that counters spells four that costs four or greater is very good. So I think that's the control deck we're going to get out of this. Not necessarily Jeskai. I think Jeskai has the potential to be more aggressive. I agreed with, I know you said you hadn't listened to this week's SVU heavy meta. I think it was Maddie was saying that just ditch the prowess guy that gains lifelink and just run the storm breath dragons.
Oh fuck. I had to throw a deck together for FNM and I'm like, okay, what am I going to make? Well, I might as well make like a monsters deck because it's just easy to throw together and doesn't take any thought. And I, you know, threw in a green red one together with the Storm Breath Dragons, and holy fuck, were they doing work?
Yeah, card's very good. I mean, I like Sarkhan, don't get me wrong, but I think Sarkhan is what you want in addition to Stormbreath.
Not in the place.
So, I mean, they could still activate, you can utter end Sarkhan, you know, and Banishing Light and a lot of things, just a third of the removal in the format, essentially. So, Stormbred Dragon is very good right now. I do think that's where control is going to go. I was really surprised we didn't see more of like a black red aggro list. I think that's still out there. We did see, I think there was a mono red that finished in the top 10 in Jersey, but I was surprised by that in the lot. Cause I was at the Open in Indy and all over the Swiss rounds, the top tables was tons of like mono red, weird heroic decks. I saw heroic decks fucking everywhere and none of them made the standings. Very weird. I saw lots of a Crow and Crusaders, just stuff I didn't expect to see.
So stuff that was going 4-1 and then just finally getting to the meat of the tournament and starting to be paired up with the better decks.
Yeah, they started. I watched a bunch of people lose to like Green Red Devotion, kind of started being the real dominant deck, and then that was losing all over the place to the new Abzan decks, more or less. Yeah, so
that my Green Red deck that I played is fairly aggressive, but I was definitely having a hard time with any Abzan deck that came along. Just the life gain that's built into it is just buys them so much time to start plonking down big fat ass guys.
Yeah. But overall, though, I was more impressed with Jersey's top eight. I just thought there was more creativity there. I mean, I don't think anyone came with anything, you know, surprising at Indy, but it was good to see, you know, some Mardu and things like that over in Jersey. Mardu is another deck I really like, and another deck I don't think is quite figured out yet.
Yeah,
but
I think it's got some work to do, but I think we're going to see more and more of that kind of stuff, because like you said, I mean, if you scroll through the tournament results at Star City just looking for deck ideas, I mean, Jesus, it's just deck after deck after deck that's green ramp based and then everything else mashed in.
Butcher of the Horde gets over a lot of what Abzan's trying to do, and it also, you know, deals with their wingmate rocks pretty effectively, you know, because those are only 3/4s, and he's got a 4-butt, so. But overall, I don't know, you guys think that card is the nuts or what, man? I was real big on him at first, but I don't know, man. The more I test and play with him,
I'm the last person to ask. I only play Vintage.
Wow.
It seems good. I haven't got to play with it yet. It seems powerful.
I just, you know, I suppose what I was considering when I was, you know, looking at deck building ideas and stuff is I kept going back and forth between him and Dragon and or both. And it's like, well, if I was going to put him in and I had a choice of using Dragon instead, I'm just going to use Dragon.
Yeah, much better. I mean, both of them die to Stoke the Flames. That's been my biggest problem with the card, is I just play it and they fucking Stoke the Flames. That card really is everywhere right now.
Yeah,
and it. I mean, it's kind of Magic Christmas Landy, like they say. Very few times have I been able to. I've been testing this Mardu mid-range list, the one from New Jersey, and kind of my own take. I run the Bloodsoaked Dude main board just because he's really good to sacrifice and bring back, you know, later on when you got nothing else to do with your mana or whatever. He's pretty good. Just a constant sack outlet for the demon, but very few games you really get to, you know, get that Goblin Rabble Master token sacrifice thing going. It's just, it's cute. It's good, but it's cute.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just, I don't think that that's as consistent as people want it to be.
Yeah, and I think in those colors, you just want to play the most powerful shit.
Yeah.
Like, the best spells in those colors. Crackling Doom, I really fucking like.
Yeah.
I was kind of shitty on that card after testing it. It can be a bitch to cast, but oh man, it's so nice when it hits. It's so nice. That card's really good. And obviously, Mardu gives you Thoughtseize and Despise, both of which are fantastic right now. So
I honestly think that in Type 2 right now, if you're building a deck and you want to be competitive, I mean, I don't know how you're not building a deck with Thoughtseize in it.
Yep.
I don't think that's changed from last season. I think you just, you have to, whatever color combination you're playing, you have to have that in your deck.
Yeah. I made the mistake the last couple weeks and at the Open and Indy running this. Basically, I took the Saito posted, you know, Saito just ships out a bunch of deck lists.
Yeah.
Shoot. 50 or 60 a day.
Yeah, I spun the Saito wheel and landed on the Nia Walker's list he posted. Basically, missed it, carried it Courser into Xenagos, Elspeth, Nissa, Sarkhan, just into all the Planeswalkers. And, you know, very few creatures, like four Banishing Lights, a couple of the, what is that, Suppression Field?
Yeah.
Some of those, and then a sideboard that was real like anti-aggro, you know, for Anger of the God, shit like that. So, but lost to Thoughtseize all fucking day. The deck just, it like pretends that it wants to do unfair stuff, but it really doesn't. It just, and I got my ass kicked all day. I did a ton of side events and I just kept losing to just all kinds of, just all the mid-range decks. I even lost to fucking Villainous Wealth being cast on me.
And you know they were just doing it to troll you. That's the only reason that card's getting played.
But when he hits, let's see, he hit an Elspeth, a Pelucranos, a Fleece Mane Lion, and like a Caryatid at once.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's just, it's one of those cards. When it does spectacular things, it does really spectacular things.
I wanted to flip the table. That card is so stupid. Don't play that in standard. Don't. Don't let your friends play that card. Don't play that card. Just, it's bad. It's bad. Just like this, the Jeskai list that took down Jersey, Kevin Jones. He's actually a buddy of a guy that co-hosts with me on Cast from Exile. Shout out Ruben. He's running. He was, I don't know if you noticed, he had a couple Steam auguries.
Yeah. A lot of people have been like, you see the odd Twitter post or in a forum or something, and people are, you know, they're confused. They're reaching out. They're like, did this do anything? Like, is it a good card?
No.
And I'm like, no, it wasn't before, and it's not now. Like, nothing's changed.
It's not.
I feel that's where metas are good, because what isn't a good card might be a really good card for that particular tournament on that particular day.
I mean, there is the occasional bad opponent, and you can really get them with that card. But they're few and far between these days, man. Magic is just, there's not as many. When I started a couple years ago, when Abyssin Restored came out, this is like my first event, there were bad players all over the place. I don't know if it's something you guys notice at the shop or online or whatever, but I think the quality of Magic players is, you know, I think it's pretty decent.
Well, the content has never been better. So if someone wants to learn from reading and doing the research, it's absolutely going to be there.
Well, and I like even,
I can't
even
how many times I sat across from someone running. Oh, a month ago, it was like Rabble Red or whatever, and they whip out a piece of paper after the match to sideboard.
Yeah.
Everything written down, and it's like, what's that? This is Tom Ross's exact sideboard plan for every matchup you'll encounter in standard that he posted on SEG last week.
Right.
You get that. So it eliminates, whereas this opponent before might have made some shitty sideboard calls, now they have this pro who's like a master at the deck that these people were playing, giving them their entire sideboard plan. And
yep.
Some people want that. They'd rather master something with an instruction manual than put in the time to do it themselves.
Which is fine. I mean, I guess it's fine to agree. With a deck like Rabble Red, though, like, come on. I'll let Megan slide on that because she's learning the Lyrapod. And she studies the shit out of two people, Sam Pardee and Jacob Wilson. I don't know why those two. I know Sam Pardee is supposedly pretty good pod player, but that's who she follows on those lists. She consumes everything they write about it and just does what they say to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it works, and that's a very complex deck and complicated and many lines of playing and takes a long time to master. Rabble Red, come on. you really need a sideboard guide for this. Like, if you're playing Control, you bring in this. If you're not, it's just so easy. Like, I don't know.
But I think access to that information has brought everybody up, because even in our little meta, which is, you know, small and isolated, I've noticed over the last year, 18 months or so, that whereas there was always a certain amount of players that were, you know, I don't want to be too insulting to them, they're almost like buys because they were just never got any better at all.
Yeah.
And now that just doesn't happen. Now, you know, every opponent, except for the one or two who like to build their cutesy favorite card builds, almost every opponent is like coming at you. And it's like, oh, okay.
People are just more informed. Like, we were just talking about the Jeskai deck. If you want to know the Jeskai deck, I haven't read the article yet, but JD Clomperens, am I saying that? JD Clompers, whatever her name is. Great Magic player, by the way. She's a boss. Just wrote an article on SCG on how to play the Jeskai deck that just top aided Jersey. So, you know, well, next week you get your FM, your 13-year-old you sit across from that you think you're going to beat is, you know, got the playbook on
you. There's all this other, I mean, the content, like Josh said, the content level is just so high and such good quality. I mean, you know, Shaseen Suhrani posts something on Twitter about a Sultai Planeswalker deck that he was developing. So I follow the link, and he mentions in his article that BBD had already sort of tested it on a video. So I pop over and watch some games. You know, it's like I can instantly get a feel for that deck within 30 minutes of reading and video, and decide for myself, do I like it? Do I want to change it? At least I'm aware of it. So when it pops up in my meta, you know, I'm not totally flabbergasted by what the guy's doing. You know, like that didn't exist before.
Yeah, I'm guilty as shit about that, because I watched the shit out of those Versus videos.
Oh, yeah, me too. Well, I'm paying for it. I'm going to fucking watch everything and read everything.
Well, yeah. And with that said, there's still so much content that even with every intention of consuming it all, it's not necessarily going to happen.
Nope, absolutely not. I don't always watch every video or read every article, because I can't consume it all.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, they'll produce it faster than you can consume it.
It's the same with podcasts, right? I mean, there's a freaking metric ton of podcasts. There's not enough time in the day to listen to them all.
Well, yeah, there's only a few, though, that stick around. Don't you fuckers ever take another 2 month or whatever hiatus.
Oh, man, painful.
You motherfuckers, I swear to God, dude. Like,
painful. My fucking...
I was really bummed out. I was like, literally, the week that episode 13 came out, which was like, what was that, last week? I was sitting there that week going, I'm going to fucking write Robot Large and ask this motherfucker. Where the hell the fucking fan cast went? Because then we started doing Cast from Exile, which is kind of like the Pit Imps. We have the Pit Imps posse, you know, then there's the heavy meta SVU. Mm-hmm. The Cast from Exile is kind of like the posse cast. So we started doing that because y'all fuckers over here were sleeping on the shit.
You know, it took me so long to get my internet at my house fixed. I was actually considering just record, like, podcasting from the LGS, like at night or something. Just asking if one, you know, well, I know the one guy never leaves the fucking store anyway. So, I was going to drag my setup down there and use their internet, because I was the same way. I'm like, well, fuck, if we go too long, they're just going to assume we died and that's the end of that.
Right. Yeah. We'll come back and no one will care.
Yeah, exactly. We've burned all our audience. They've all gone off and started their own casts, and now there's nobody left.
Yeah, they're all off.
There's a lot that come and go. There is something to say about the ones that have been around for a while, Heavy Meta, yep. Brainstorm Brewery, the A-Team. They're all fucking just quality, man. They're great to listen to.
And anyone that can hit 100, you know, you've kind of solidified yourself. If you're pushing 200 or more, I mean, you're like a legacy. You've been around.
Yeah. We're coming up on episode 100 for Pit Imp, so it's going to be a pretty big milestone. After that, though, y'all, you don't have to listen to it. After that, no need to continue. No, I'm just playing. But yeah, I mean, that is a milestone. Tap and Sack just hit 100. And
yep.
Heavy Metas, what are we at, like 97 with these fuckers?
Yeah, I think 97. Yeah.
Right around the corner.
At least it sounds like they're going to have an episode 100. I mean, not like those guys on the A-Team.
I'm, you know what? I'll be pissed if they don't, cause I'm waiting on my hoodie to come in the mail. And if they fucking cancel this shit before episode 100,
I'm going to have to like get another fucking job just to pay for all this swag that they keep pumping out.
Yeah. And by the way, they, shout out to those guys. They did a great job with this hoodie campaign this time. Like, we definitely need to emulate and copy some of this shit that they be doing over there with the Pedants. Cause
yeah, they did a really good job with, not just offering one piece. And that was the benefit of doing it through Teespring. Versus the first one.
Yeah, I mean, well, we have like four color choices or something this time.
You had four color choices and four products to choose from.
Yeah.
You didn't have to get a hoodie. You could just get a pullover sweatshirt. They had all kinds of stuff. Yeah. You know, they really ticked all the boxes for, yeah. You want something that says heavy meta on it for 2 weeks, you know, and it's not like they had to sell 30 of the pullovers and 30 of the hoodies. They just needed 30 things, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They out of the park for sure.
Yeah. I mean, big shout out to a website like that that just gives people what they want, right? If we didn't have Teespring or other sites around like that, I mean, there's no way we could put together.
No, not a chance. Teespring is unbelievable. They do something.
Who else is going to give Kevy Metal an outlet?
Free shirts.
I mean, same with the guys at Ink Playmats, right? I mean.
Oh, they're brilliant. They're, yeah.
You know, they're the big dog there where you go. But I mean, who else is going to print mats where some dude scrawls in MS Paint and makes a fucking playmat?
I do have to say, and this will be an exclusive behind the scenes peek into the dealings, the content of the Three Rules playmat was deemed a little too racy for them.
Oh, really?
Which is why it is not available. Oh.
You
I'm
know,
sorry.
There's got to be something we could, there's got to be like some images we can use to convey the Three Rules.
I did. So, I mean, I they're pretty. I mean, if you know the rules,
because,
they make sense.
I mean, I get the theory behind it might be a little over the line for them. But I mean, if you just take it as the images alone, that actually kind of shocks me that they wouldn't print that.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, the center one is pretty clear what it says.
Well, without question, yes. Yeah, that's the one that I did first when I was like, how do we merchandise the Three Rules, because we can't use text, right?
Yeah. Oh,
no one's going to wear that in public. So.
Well, and no one's going to print it probably unless it's a well, custom job.
Right. If Frankie, if they just have Frankie on the phone, explain everything to him.
Right. It'll so, work it, it'll I mean, work out. I respect their decision, obviously.
So we're never going to get one a Three of those Rules playmat. That's the deal, huh?
No, don't give up.
We gotta find someone who can print playmats for
it's
us.
It's not that we won't. The way that it's gonna go about is it might just be a custom. So I'd have to order 50 of them. It right. won't be available on the site, and then we sell it on
and
the
then
side.
We sell it separately,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's they just don't want it on their site. I guess is the problem.
Right. Which is
I'd buy one.
That's fine. So
I'd buy one.
A lot of people wanted it. The design is actually pretty tight.
Yeah.
It is orange. It's same as the original shirt design, but it's got some filigree in the background. It was a really sharp design. They just, it wasn't the design that they didn't like, it was the content of
right,
the design.
Right.
And it's their website. I can't say, well.
Yeah, they'll buy that. Have you seen the Kibler mat? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw it at GP Chicago and I was like, I can't believe people buy that. Just in general. It's not even a good looking
mat. She wanted it the last time we were in India a couple weeks ago. It was like, that is hilarious. It's like, no. That is not $25 funny.
Yeah, that was the... When you can get inked playmat stuff at 20, that's spectacular, you know, and instead of just, here's a photo of Brian Kibler sprawled across it.
Yeah, I do need to get with them, actually, because I've been searching for this Golden Girls playmat forever. Can't find it anywhere. So I'm just going to... I don't know. I'm going to have it custom made somehow with just a picture that I choose of the Golden Girls.
Like as in the TV show?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Something about them little old ladies.
You got a thing for Bea Arthur, do you?
No, I mean, she may have had the sexiest ass on the show. I don't know. That's close.
Yeah.
No, I just, it was funny. I don't know. I saw it a long time ago I've never seen it since, and I've searched for it. I've looked everywhere. I Googled the shit out of it. Can't find it. So I'm assuming the guy that had it, it must have been some custom map to begin with. So I'm just going to copy the dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Maybe a guy like Josh could help you recreate it.
There we go.
Potentially.
Yeah.
The only image that I can think of that, I mean, it wasn't photo. I've seen some altars of cards that featured them. But I don't know if that's the same art. And maybe the person who had that altered got a digital copy also that they could put on a playmat. I've not seen the playmat, so I'm not sure.
I'm going to have to step my Twitter game up with the proxies and stuff. I got to start sending you some of it. I've just started dabbling in that. Like, I redid, you know, the Savage Punch from Cons.
Mm-hmm.
Did change the bear's head to Kelso from that 70s show.
Nice.
And then John Celso, who does Tap and Sack, you know, Bald Duty right. and Bears, I just fuck around and call him Kelso. Like, I don't know what his fucking name is. So just call him Kelso all the time and put Kelso on things. And Steven Raffles done, you know, something funny with it before too. So
yeah,
shout out to him too, by the way. He's a great artist. He gave us a great logo in our Pittance contest. So
we love that.
But yeah, so I did that one and then.
And he has great hair.
Great hair. Yeah. I made my first card. You know, it needs some work, but I'm going to submit it to the next Booze Cube Challenge. It's my, I call it Todd Anderson Community Douchebag. And he puts rules lawyer tokens onto the battlefield.
Nice. That's not what he should do. It should be select target token, opponent controls, tear it up and throw it in their face.
Classic.
That's what that card needs to do.
I can't believe somebody actually did that to him. That is funny. I don't know if the dude's really a douchebag or not. I've heard so many stories that he's an asshole or whatever. And then I hear in the last couple years that he's a nice guy or whatever. I've seen him at a couple opens or whatever and waved and said hi, and he's reciprocated. He wasn't like a dick or anything. So I don't know where he might get this reputation or whatever, but
that could have been something that he was, you know, he's since moved on from. I mean, you look at a guy like Jerry T, he's a very different guy from where he was a couple of years back. He had a bit of a rep for being abrasive with
people. Right. Yeah. That's going to happen. And, you know, that's how some people measure their reach, right? Is it's not that people enjoy what you do. It's do people hate what you do? If people hate what you do, then you know you're doing something right.
Yeah. And you know,
to some people, that's just how it goes.
You know who was a dick when I met him was Brad Nelson.
Hmm.
But whatever. I talk enough shit about these guys on Pittance, so I didn't come here to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't necessarily say talking shit so much as I just like to tease or whatever. You know, so I do a lot of teasing, and you know, I like to call people out on their shit. So,
that's never a bad thing.
If you're gonna make proxies and stuff, you should be entering into the contests at the factory that Josh runs.
Oh, for sure. We don't do too much on the user created custom stuff, but yeah, that's a good way if you want to hone the skills a bit. That's a great place to do it.
I'll start tweeting you some stuff. I can't remember for the life of me the name of the site I've been using. It's probably not that good. What do you use?
I just use Photoshop. Do it myself.
Yeah, you're a professional.
Cardsmith, maybe?
Okay, Cardsmith.
MTG Cardsmith is a pretty good one for creating that stuff quickly. If you're using a standalone program, Magic Set Editor is pretty much the go-to.
Valuable. That right there is valuable information, because so many times on Heavy Meta or whatever, they have these proxy contests or whatnot. We're not telling people how to. I know they've mentioned Photoshop or whatever. That's, you know, you guys are, you're higher level. That's next level shit. But for the regular people, you know, they just want to fucking upload a card and change it or whatever. MTG Cardsmith. Yeah. That's good to know. That's good advice to know. So that, you know, maybe we'll get some more people entering some of these things.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of people, you know, we get tons of submissions already, but hey, the more the merrier.
Well, MSE, so, yeah. Magic's Editor is what BlizzCube uses. And he builds all the cards in there anyway. So if you want your cards to look exactly like they already are in the BlizzCube, that's what he's doing. So, and it's a free program.
Nice. Where do you print your proc? Do you print just straight up standard?
About a foot away from where I'm sitting. No. The big thing about printing is a lot of places that you would take it to, if they're intelligent, won't touch it because it's using intellectual property that you don't have the rights to. So most of the printing ends up being done by individual users on their home stuff. You might be able to find like some kid at a store that does it, but don't be a dick about it, because if that guy gets found out, that's his job. You know,
yeah, no
that's
shit.
Just not, see, that's I not stuff that you want to be playing with.
Yeah. I'd love a quality, like, you know, on cardboard stock booze cube. Mm-hmm. Not just, you know, printouts, basically.
Yeah, that's the whole issue. His is a little bit more lenient in that because it is obviously done in parody.
Yeah.
And parody falls into some different things when you start using other people's property. So, yeah, I mean, there's that side of it. But,
I think for that I think for the booze cube, you probably wouldn't have as much trouble getting someplace to print it as you would, you know, straight up.
You know, the thing about booze cube is just the nature of it. I wouldn't want to put a lot of time and money into something that people are going to vomit on personally. So, you know, the cardstock and sleeves, while might, you know, the paper and sleeves might not be glamorous, it's at least very easily replaceable.
You need someone to print it on plastic or something.
Like poker cards.
That's fucking brilliant.
Like plastic poker cards. That would be brilliant.
Jason,
just wipe them off and go.
Yep.
That is brilliant.
Patent that idea.
You need somebody in the SVU fucking get on that. Because if you're not double sleeving your booze cube in the first place, you know, shame on you. Because you should just, that shit should be double sleeves, period. Because
you know it's going to get wet. I mean,
it should. Right. There's a card called I Fucked Up for a Reason.
The kind of group that you're going to booze cube with had better be the kind that's going to spill a drink now and then.
Yeah. Round about middle of game two.
Mm-hmm. Or you're doing something wrong.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I'm halfway to being more inebriated than I should be myself. So, but that's what happens, I guess, when you're chilling on the SVU cast.
Yeah,
so.
Anything SVU related, you just, like, you start half cut anyway.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm usually like so stoned and gone by the end of Pittance that, you know, I don't even know what the fuck I'm saying or talking about towards the end of the episode. So I'm slowly probably approaching that point here. So,
well, save some of your energy, because you're supposedly going out. So
I am going to need it tonight. That is true. I live a life many men should envy. Y'all should envy. I'm fuck, man. I'm just putting it out there, man. If you don't already know and don't listen to the Pittimps or whatever, very open relationship, very open-minded people I keep around me. Basically, I have a date with another couple tonight, and it should be fun. The female half, I'm very excited about. She is super cute, tall, long, nice. So I'm looking forward to it. Should be a fun evening, to say the least.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's going to be a hell of a lot more fun than my evening when we get off and I just go to bed. So,
yeah. So this
I go immediately to bed. Cross the hall, go to bed.
Yeah, this is what I meant though earlier when I was like, if I have kids, they would probably pick up on some shit around here that's just not normal. So I just don't have kids yet. Basically, that my work, man. I just I couldn't have a family life with my job right now anyways. It's just too stressful. It's too many hours and
right.
It's sales, man.
Yeah. Bit. Is that what you do? Sales?
I work for it's a high end home improvement company. It's not like Lowe's or Menards or anything. I signed a contract just the other day, in fact, with a lady on a $75,000 home renovation project, big end, nice sunrooms.
Mm-hmm.
We got nice siding, lifetime guarantee windows. There's, nothing, I'm not, like a lawyer or anything fancy. I don't do anything fancy or whatever, but I get by. I make a good living at what I do. I enjoy what I do. It's one of those jobs that if you like being alone a lot or, on the road or whatever, it's fine. And, I do enjoy that because I love listening to podcasts. So it gives me, that might explain why I'm a bit of a podcast junkie and why I waste my life listening to shit like SVU Fancast.
Exactly.
And Money Draft and Heavy Meta. No, but yeah. So in the car a lot, but it's not a job that, it's for having kids and shit. So.
Well, the beauty of all these podcasts and stuff for a job like yours is that it's like bringing your buddies on the road with you, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I get to scream and shit at the dumb shit you guys say.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a lot better than just listening to music all the time. I mean,
it's like being there.
Yeah.
And there's other, not just magic podcasts. There are some good podcasts out there. I took the advice of Maddie Studios and listened to, I don't know if you guys have ever heard Jay and Silent Bob's. I think it's called Jay and Silent Bob Get Old or some shit. Very good podcast. Funny as shit. It's basically just Silent Bob and Jay talking shit more or less and
mm-hmm.
sex stories and weird shit. It's like heavy meta, but not with anything magic.
Right.
Basically. So I could see that they were definitely influenced by those guys in that cast. So if you do like heavy meta, if you like Kevin Smith, Jay and Silent Bob, any of that stuff, that's one worth checking out. I'm a huge fucking history nerd, politics buff. I'm huge in politics. Anyone that follows me on Twitter fucking knows that politics are a big part of my life. I do a lot of volunteering. In fact, I was canvassing this morning here in the neighborhood trying to get Central Illinois Vote Carol Ammons coming up November. Please do. And Ann Callis, please do. We need these people in Congress. So I do a lot of work here locally and stuff, volunteering and good friends personally with the mayor here in Champaign. Do a lot of work with Champaign County Young Democrats. Things like that. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, anyone that follows me on Twitter knows,
So if anyone's looking for a good political discussion, you're the guy to hit up on Twitter.
Well, at least a good one-sided. I'm very left-leaning. I'm not allowed. In fact, on PNMs, I'm banned from talking politics. I'm not.
Oh, man.
Hey, Angelo.
It's like the finance side on Heavy Meta.
Yeah, except, when Ferret was on there, Ferret had some decent finance advice now and again. Kevy, I'm not gonna take Kevy's finance advice. Good rum, vodka.
Yeah, Kevy's more the lifestyle advice.
Yeah, sexual positions. Believe me, if me and Kevy got together, oh my, sweet Jesus, man, I'm telling you, the debauchery that would occur.
Well, it sounds like if we ever got you and Kevy and Slick in the room together, the rest of us had better move to the other house.
Yeah. Or the next town. Yeah.
Throw some chicks in. It's fucking over. So get the women involved. It's over. So I wouldn't take their advice there. Financial advice. But yeah, when Ferret was on though, man, I miss the Ferret too. He's popped up there recently, so good to hear him. So
yeah, I think it's
he'll probably be on 100.
I like
sure.
it when they bring him back from time to time.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he wasn't on 100.
Yeah, so but yeah, I'm completely banned from talking politics on PitMs, and I do. I lean one way, and it's not even, you know what? People get so caught up in it being, yeah, it's Democrats, Republicans, it's liberal, it's conservative, and which is the whole conservative, fiscal conservative. That's a fucking myth anyways. The last fiscal conservative was 1952 Eisenhower, and he's the last fucking fiscally conservative Republican president we've had. Let's just be honest, but.
Well, that's talking politics.
I get caught up in that too. It really is. Before I do take off here in a few minutes, just one thing. It really is. It's an us versus them. It's the elite. It's the 1%. It's these billionaires, you know, over 90% of which, according to Forbes, have direct access to their senators. In a recent survey they conducted, over 90% of billionaires they interviewed admitted to having direct contact, you know, direct line to their senator, which is scary. You know what I mean? Shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need these people involved. Citizens United is probably the worst Supreme Court decision in decades. It's terrible. Corporations are not people. So I see things more as like a progressive. We need to have this progressive movement here. We're supposed to have a progressive tax structure. We have the most regressive tax structure in the industrialized world. It's amazing. People making $40,000 a year, teachers and firefighters pay less of a percentage in their they pay a greater percentage of their income in taxes than these people making millions of dollars a year. Something's wrong with that. It's, you know, the middle class is shrinking, it's disappearing, and it really is. If you look at a map of how, like, a map of the United States and were to divide it up by who owns what, the 1% would essentially literally own like 60-70% of the country. It's insane. 95% of all new income generated in this country goes to the 1%. And we've seen over the last 5 years in politics, there's been one party. And I hate to say it, I hate the Democrat-Republican things, but it's been one party the last 5 years who's done nothing but cater to these corporate elite and done everything they can to obstruct the political process in every way. I mean, over 250 filibusters. I mean, we've seen a historic use of the filibuster. It's never been used this much ever, combined in all of history previous to Obama. Don't kid yourselves for a second. This is all about just making one person look bad at the expense of the American people. It really is. I mean, just common sense bills, even bills like last month, the veterans welfare benefit thing apart, you know, this was worked out on both sides of the fence. They all agreed to it. Then it comes time. And well, what's the GOP do? Well, we need trade sanctions against Iran in this bill that has nothing to do with Iran. We're talking about expanding fucking welfare for our veterans. You know, a third of what you're homeless in this country. Think about that for a fucking second.
Yeah.
So we're talking about expanding these people's welfare, you know, more help with college, things like that. They won't vote for it simply because of that. You know, we've introduced bills, just hundreds of bills over the last 5 years that, you know, anything aimed at creating jobs that would create jobs gets the no. It's just it's treason of the highest order. It really is. I mean, and it's a shame. I mean, just the amount of bills. I mean, things meant to they filibuster the bill. What was it? HS like 1484 about keeping jobs here in America, essentially giving tax breaks to companies for not shipping jobs overseas. You know, you'd think that. Tax breaks, if anyone would be for that, it would be the Republican Party, right? But no. Vote against it. It's craziness. And it really is. Today's Republican Party over the last few years has been taken over by, you know, this Tea Party, lunatic fringe, anti-government, like, just weirdos. Fucking nut jobs.
So you mentioned earlier that you're a bit of a history buff. Is it safe to say that what you love about history ties in with your political love as well?
Oh yeah.
Like, what's what's your juice history wise? Like, what's your favorite part of history?
Oh man. Well, I focused a lot on, I did a lot of like immigrant studies, focused a lot on, I did a lot of like South American history, a lot of, as far as American history goes, you know, early 1900s, Illinois and Chicago history, huge, huge fan of, took lots of classes in that area. My favorite, I guess, overarching period or whatever, probably be the Middle Ages, just
cool,
1500 or so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably up to about the period of the Enlightenment. I find that to be the most interesting, just in terms of how society changed and stuff like that. And I see that today. I feel like we are at this crossroads, at least here in America, where we're on the verge of something. I can feel it.
Yeah, it feels like it. It just feels like there's societal change in the air. I don't know how to quantify that. It just feels like it.
Yeah. And then we have this small group, this small fringe group of people hanging on and clinging to things and making us debate social issues in 2014 that should have been fucking done and over with in 1913. it's just crazy.
And like you were saying, I mean, there's such a big, you know, every year there's a bigger and bigger spread between, you know, the elite and the middle class, which is now becoming, you know, the lower class. You know, how far is that going to go before, you know, the rubber band just snaps?
Yeah. And they still try to sell the myth of trickle down economics. And we know every historical instance of supply side economics has failed. It does over and over again. There's not been one historical instance of supply-side economics in that, in, or what we call here in the United States, Reaganomics, I guess. There's no historical example of that anywhere, ever, in all of history, being successful. It does not work. Economies, we know, generate bottom-up. This is why things like the minimum wage and unions and stuff like that are so important to me, and I feel so important to, you know, us, that we just, you know, we're letting go of, and
yeah,
it's scary, man. I mean, Australia minimum wage $16, and they're seeing the fastest economic growth they've ever seen. Denmark is the once again the happiest nation in the world, and well, they have a 33-hour work week, $20 minimum wage, free education, free healthcare. Yeah, you pay more in taxes for this stuff, but society benefits far greater in the end. Everyone's better off in the end. There's not as much disparity. We'll catch on eventually. Things like Obamacare, stuff like that's a start, but we need to get to single payer healthcare. We need universal healthcare. We need, you know, Germany just this week, Germany starting next semester, all their college students, no more college tuition in Germany.
Yeah, I read that just the other day. That's impressive.
Their chancellor said something about education should not be, a higher education shouldn't be, you know, determined by, you know, your parents' income.
Yeah.
And what your parents have done, and who gets educated shouldn't depend on, you know, the rich and stuff. And believe me, I'm so in debt right now with student loans, it would blow your mind. I mean, the U of I is a top university. You guys probably know that it is very, very expensive.
Extremely. It's a Big Ten school.
I owe thousands. Like, I'm $100,000 in the hole of these people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just, when you think about that, I mean, just trying to dig yourself from under that debt is like, that's
and
a,
I got
that's
an
a lifetime.
Scholarship, and mm-hmm. I still, even with the scholarship that covered maybe a couple classes in my books, still $100,000 in debt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what we're doing to our students is just, it's crazy. So, props to Germany. I think we're moving there. I mean, like I said, there is this.
It just seems so hard to shake people from the concept of why would I help everyone else? You know, I just want to help myself.
Yeah, but when we're supposed to be a Christian nation, right?
Yeah.
Don't forget, Jesus said it's, you know, it's easier to pass a camel through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get in heaven. So just food for thought. So,
yeah.
So sorry, I kind of went on a...
No, no, that's all right. We're here to find out about you. And
that's what we do.
That's what makes you, that's what makes you tick.
And Republicans or anything like that, but there is, studies do show Fox viewers are up to 30 times more misinformed on political views than non-Fox viewers. In fact, they're upwards of 30 times more misinformed than people that don't even watch the news, period. That's amazing. That should astound people. And yet, so much of this nation, you know, clings to these things. And I saw something the other day on there about trying to scare people into thinking there's like ISIS training camps here in the United States and fucking, I don't know, Ebola bombs or something. Like, yeah.
The fear mongering, it just drives me crazy.
It's nuts. It's nuts. I'm sorry. These little immigrant kids coming over here, they're not trained ISIS warriors. You don't have to fucking worry about them blowing up buildings. Like, the fuck is wrong with you? I don't get it.
Whatever sells advertising and gets viewers.
Yeah.
It's just tabloid. Believable tabloid.
It's funny you mention it because the Inquirer, they have the right to print whatever they want, right? And they can print bullshit stories and everyone knows it's bullshit. But with Fox News, they've somehow managed to maintain, like, at least with some people, this like little bit of credibility. When even they, in it was 2003 or 2004, they won an appeals court, essentially the right to lie. They basically got the same freedom that the National Enquirer does in printing bullshit. They can essentially say whatever the fuck they want. They can outright lie. And if you believe it, it's your fault. Like, you know, just food for thought. So, not that any, you know, we hear about this. We have this liberal media and we really don't. I mean, truth be told, the media is owned by about 5 or 6 corporations. And most of them, you know, are conservative owned and lean that way. That's just the truth of the matter. There's a few places, like I hear all the time, like CNN is so liberal. No, CNN's not. CNN just is fucking, it's just news. MSNBC, people say that a lot about too. I mean, yeah, they might have like Rachel Maddow and some people on there, but then they also have like Morning Joe and shit. So, yeah, it's hard to say. So,
I mean, just bringing it all back around to Magic. I mean, where do you think we're headed, you know, content wise with Magic? I mean, have we kind of stalled out? Are we just going to sit back and we're going to have, you know, some video coverage, some podcasts? Is there a next leap that we
can... I think it's getting more competitive. I think so. I'm newer to the game, as I've pointed out, right? And since I've started consuming coverage, like I've noticed, like SCG and Channel Fireball over the last couple of years, the game, like, they've really stepped it up. I think there's some healthy competition there, which promotes, you know, breeds, you know, good quality content. It just kind of forces people to try to be unique and provide things that other content providers aren't bringing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, I mean, fuck, I read MTG Bro Deals. I don't know how many tens of people, 20 people. Shout out Jack LaCroix.
Funny. They just all the funding, so there must be enough listening or reading, I guess.
There you go. Jeebus, those guys doing a big... they provide, like, just different, unique perspectives on different things in the game. John Celso writes a lot of, you know, just a wide variety of different... whether it be analyzing, like, modern decks or, like, the current metagame to just weird stuff, like the top 15 sleeper cards in M15 or something, or the cards you should pick up. Just tons of variety. There's lots of, you know, interesting off the wall stuff kind of on Bro Deals. And then I check out Brainstorm, of course, brainstormbrewery.com.
Yeah.
Love the stuff they do there. Not all finance, you know, they get some other stuff in there. Houston Ginger Ale, he's been writing some good stuff there. Ah, fuck. There's another great writer for Brainstorm Brewery. I'm blanking on his name right now. He's like a super fan of their cast as well. So I should know who this fucker is. Damn. But yeah, good. I like the content that they provide out there. I see it getting more competitive. I definitely just, I don't know if it's just me that notices, but have you guys not noticed? Like, there's just more variety. They're not all like, you get the same shit from Chapin. You get a bunch of deck lists. And that's not, that just like, when I started, that's all I saw. And now there's all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, right. Yeah. The next level is going to be, is there enough interest for a live program? I mean, Everything's recorded currently, but, and I'm not saying like video live, like a television program, but like a talk radio format, similar to a podcast, but.
SCG does the, they do their video stuff with like Brad and Todd Anderson behind the news desk.
Well, right. Yeah, to some degree.
But man, we could definitely use more. That's for sure.
Well, I think there's, you've got kind of SCG and Channel Fireball and a couple of sites at the top that have been putting out very consistent and higher quality every year. But I've noticed this sort of flood in on the bottom end where a lot of the niches, like you were describing, are getting kind of filled in by these websites. And, there's just more and more content that you can consume that, you're not getting just Chapin's lists regurgitated over on Bro Deals. You're getting something unique there. I mean, Gathering Magic has their thing. Brainstorm Brewery has their thing. And it just seems like there's been this upswelling on the bottom end that's filling in all these niches. And I wonder at some point, that's all going to kind of stabilize and like, who's going to make the next big leap? Like Josh said, maybe it's talk radio. Maybe it's something else. I don't know, but it just seems like we're right on the edge of something. Something's going to break loose, and I haven't quite figured it out.
A TV show or something would be awesome. I saw, because being a history geek and playing Magic, I got to study the history of the game, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I watch old school coverage all the time. Like, I love watching old Finkel, like back in the fucking day, like Fat Kid Finkel.
Finkel with hair, Finkel?
Yeah, Finkel with the shit blonde.
Yeah, from, I don't know if you would. Tips, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what he was trying to pull look there, but yeah, just the old school shit. And I saw were on ESPN.
Yes, they were.
I was watching these matches that were on ESPN. What happened to
ESPN
that?
ESPN 2.
Well, yeah, but still.
Yeah, but still.
If you don't know it.
What happened to that? What happened to that?
You had to know Magic to get anything out of it. I mean, it was. I think
is
it was
not
a,
enough
a
Magic
pro tour
today that you don't think that ESPN would garner enough viewers for them to rationalize putting on some Magic coverage.
Well, I think
maybe on the Ocho.
Yeah, maybe on the Ocho. Exactly.
I think unfortunately for Magic coverage in the mainstream, even the bottom end of the mainstream, I think there's just bigger fish to fry. Like, I think those networks wouldn't even look at Magic when they can look at League of Legends or Dota or StarCraft or any
without
other
question.
You know, that have the bigger numbers, right? They're going to see it as just numbers. And
yeah, well, they did, right? Wasn't the finals of the Invitational televised?
I think
for Dota.
No, you're right. It totally was. I think so. I just think we're unfortunately. We've been overwhelmed in sort of their corporate eyes with just bigger numbers. We can't put up numbers like they do.
Well, I think the biggest issue with it is, quite honestly, it's really, really boring to watch people play Magic. To just sit there, he plays a card. There's no visceral experience to it where there's action in a video game. Things happen, all that stuff's going on.
Yeah, and that's maybe.
And then something amazing happens in the Magic game, and it's exactly the same as when they played a land and went said go.
And I guess
it's
that's
identical.
The stigma that's always going to be with us. So that's why, like, I find it interesting. I'm just sort of waiting to get my head around what the next thing will be, and I'm pretty sure it's going to have to be entirely community driven. But
I mean, the next big thing, who knows? This movie that we got coming out, I mean, what the fuck is that going to bring to our game?
I mean, if that's successful, that could change everything.
Yeah, and if it isn't...
if it isn't, it could
it's
be
just
going like,
to be more of the same. It's going to be like, oh yeah, that's that stupid game that people
it'll
play.
Be could, like that
could,
stupid
could D&D Studios dream oh, that cartoon finally
it'll be like that D&D movie that fucking
they
that's
they
so
made
horrible
two
it's good.
Sequels to that movie
what
that went straight to video that it was successful enough to make two straight to video sequels. And that movie was terrible. Movie, I saw that in the theater, and it was just like, "Oh, good lord!"
When it comes on TV, I can't. It's like an, you know, it's like a car wreck scene. I can't stop watching it.
Just so you can say, "Yep, that's wrong. Yeah, yep, that's wrong." No, why is he even in this movie?
No, it's just can't so do that. Horrible. It's hilarious, but I can't.
That's what magic's going to be like to us. There's no way they're going to be like, "Oh, we understand the subtleties of what just happened because we understand the stack." It's just not going to be there.
I foresee many discussions on podcasts around that movie when it's closer to being released and once it's released.
That movie just literally needs to be lightning bolts.
What we don't need is some shitty, like, Twilight bullshit, like, Innistrad, vampire, like, Soren's in love or some kind of fucking bullshit. Innistrad vampire themed.
I just know the magic community and there's no way that they're going to be happy with whatever comes out. They're just going to tear it a new asshole.
Because how do you do it?
As long as it's not vampires.
That doesn't make sense.
If it's not vampires, I'll be happy. Don't do fucking vampires and I'll love it.
It's mass-produced magic. It's angels and it's dragons. That's what it's going to be about.
Thankfully, I think we're
angels and dragons.
You know, we're sort of
that's fair.
You know, we're a good year or so beyond when you know the corporates want to make nothing but vampire movies. So, you know, if this movie had come out 2 years ago, it definitely would have been a Twilight ripoff for sure.
Yeah, that's.
Hopefully, that's they've tired of vampires, and we can move on to something.
Exactly. Decent. Exactly. Speaking of moving on.
Yep, you got to get out of here.
Fucking A, man. I lost track of time completely. It's been a fucking blast. I can't believe I'm on the fan cast, dude. Holy shit. Like,
this is what we like to do, man. I really just want to get regular Joes on board, have a good conversation, get to know some guys, shoot the shit. That's what I like about this.
And a lot of people are going to listen to this and go, I had no idea that, you know, like your political affiliation and all the work that you're putting into that, because they don't let you talk about it on Pit Imps.
Yeah.
They get to know more about you just from letting you rant for 20 minutes.
We let you talk about you know? Whatever you want.
Exactly. That's we're very bad at this, so if you talk the whole time, it's much easier.
Oh, yeah. Man, fucking, I'm sorry if I went from subject to subject on, you know,
no.
Sierra Nevada Pale Ale and Sour D's a little.
No way, no worries, man. So you got to take off, so we'll let you go.
Sweet. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
Much love.
Thank you.
Much love to everybody in the SVU. You guys... Hands down, hey, I love the posse.
Are you going to be there for 2015 when we pull off the big event?
I'm actually, me and the girl are thinking about Vegas.
Okay.
So whether they don't know if that's going to be the location yet or not. So who knows? We will see. I do want to say, though, the SVU is, y'all are easily the best community in magic. The things you guys do for each other, the way you help each other out, the closeness, man, yeah. Not enough props for the SVU. So shout out to everyone listening. Shout out to you guys for doing this. And shout out to fucking Kevy and Maddie for giving us shit to listen to every week. So
you betcha.
That's what's up. And to you guys, of course, no more fucking hiatuses, okay?
No promises, but we'll do what we can.
Fix the internet infrastructure and Prince Rupert. Yeah. Make your promise.
I was getting used to like a schedule of when you guys were dropping. And it just fucking vanished on me, so.
Yeah.
Well, we'll try to do the every 2 weeks.
We're back in the groove now, so there you go.
Perfect.
Get out of here. Hey. You got places to be.
And I got some pussy to get, so
you
must. All right, later, fellas. All
right, man.
Take care.
Well, there we go. There's Ryan.
I don't think we can follow that.
We should just like cancel the cast and that'll be our final episode.
The rest of this is brought to you by silence.
I'll just edit,
leave it, you know, just leave. Jason will edit in a complete hour of where nothing happens. And then at the end, after an hour, there's music. And nobody will listen up. Someone will forget and leave it on. And then my computer started playing music.
Man. So, Josh, I'm going to be mailing out a box to you soon. I got a care package for you.
Oh, you have no idea how much I'm looking forward to that because I did the whole cons thing, right?
Yeah.
And the lands in cons aren't good for it.
Oh, really?
They're cut right. I need them with the crappy corner cut in order to be effective for what I'm using them for. And the cons ones, I was like, oh, the cons ones were bad. I was
not. Is there any way to tell the crappy corner cut?
Yeah, just hold them up to a normal. They're almost square. Seriously. Okay. They are dramatically different.
Because I've got 12 bundles of them, and that I didn't look at what sets they were, but it could literally go back as far as Conflux all the way up to currently.
Well, make sure you're not sending me in these Endicar ones, because those would be awful.
I love you, but I wouldn't send you that, man.
No. Yeah, the fat pack is worth a ridiculous amount of money because of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been patiently waiting on the Elspeth, so.
Oh yeah, no, I haven't forgotten. I got that. I've got that bundle, and I got a couple other treats to send in there for you. So,
I look forward to that greatly.
I've been hoarding it. You know, I didn't want to like. I wanted to make the shipping worth it. If I'm going to ship you something, it's got to be good.
Well, especially with yours, and we had that kind of pregame the last time. I were you saying that Canada's changing? It's no more door to door, right?
Yeah,
might be parts that already do it, because I'm shipping something tomorrow to Nova Scotia, and I have a street address and a P.O. box.
Oh, yeah. They may have phased it in already.
So I was like, why would I have a street address and a P.O.? Yeah. And when I put it into the United States Postal Service website, they were like, this is a P.O. box.
Yep.
Yeah, Jason's like, what? They're not going to do door-to-door in Canada anymore. They're going to have
community mailboxes.
Like in an apartment building.
In the entire country.
The whole country.
I have those. So I have those, my last few houses, I've had that.
Yeah.
I go to a spot, in the community and go get my...
Like, every neighborhood would have one.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what Canada Post is switching us over to for basically the entire country.
Wow.
I can't even wrap my head around that. That's just wild. I couldn't imagine that. There's so much stuff that gets sent that needs to be signed for, or...
They just come to your door. I mean, they do come to your door. At least in the U.S., when you have those setups, they still come to your door for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, anything that needs to be signed for, they would come to, but just regular parcels, I'm not sure what they're doing, to be honest. I'm hoping B.C. will be last, and it's years away, but... Who knows?
Well, Nova Scotia is as far from you as it can be.
Yes,
so.
It is.
If they started on the East Coast, you should be good for quite a long time.
I'm hoping. Yeah. So, what's up with you, Jason? How's the little one doing?
Good, good. I was a little bit running late today because putting them down for bed.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
Everything's good. She's healthy and.
Oh yeah. Happy. Yep. Everyone's. We just got over 2 weeks of sickness,
man.
It's worse when they can't be like, my head hurts.
No, they just cry.
Yeah.
And you have to do everything possible to, okay, we tried this, we tried that. Yeah.
And then they get you sick. Yeah. 12 weeks now?
Oh, little. Yeah, my granddaughter is 6 months on Thursday because she was born exactly 6 months before my birthday. So it'll be very easy for me to remember.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think we'll shut her down for tonight. Everyone's got to get off to their lives. And
Yeah. Back to work.
Josh has got to get to bed so he can go to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm old. I'll be older on Thursday, technically.
Oh, is that your birthday, Thursday?
I don't. Say it very frequently, but yes.
Oh, man.
People seem to make big deals about birthdays, and I don't, so.
Yeah, I don't make it that big a deal on mine either. I have mine coming up soon.
Like you, though, Josh, because you don't make a big deal out of anything that relates to you.
No, that's not true. The whole thing is, my wedding anniversary is 1 week after my birthday.
Ah.
Which means way more to me than the number changing when someone asks me how old I am. And this year is the 10th, so I'm really not looking forward to my birthday. I'm looking forward to the week after. So.
You guys got anything special planned?
Yeah, we're going to go out to... There's a town in northwest Illinois called Galena. Basically, it's a town that visually hasn't changed since about 1870.
Hmm.
It is spectacular. It's so relaxing and laid back. And they're actually prohibited from changing the visuals of the town. Like, every building in the downtown is on the National Registrar for Historic Buildings. It's just, wow, it's unbelievable. So
awesome.
We've been going there for the entire time we've been together. So,
neat.
Yeah, we love it, and we're going to go out and spend some days drinking some wine, eating some good food, and not worrying about getting up in the morning and going to work. It's nice. Going to be spectacular.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my birthday's on Thursday, and all I really ever anticipate is a happy birthday, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, my
wife hates it because she thinks my birthday should be special, and I don't share it. Yep, it's all good.
Well, you always get nervous when people try to do nice things for you, so.
Well, it's not nervous. It's just, I can understand the perspective when, you know, all of a sudden we had, as a community, a whole bunch of projects going on. Buy this shirt, buy this playmat. Get Jay to Orlando, and everyone's like, Mike Marsala's kid needs funding, yo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, I helped both of them meagerly because I don't really have a whole lot. So there are other things that are far more important that you could be spending your money on than anything for me. So this is how I'm always going to feel.
The community just wants to show you love, man.
And they did. Mm-hmm. The printer that they funded in 4 hours is unbelievable.
An unbelievable printer that you can fuss over to get the perfect black.
Oh,
yeah.
You have no idea. Because, like, I did it on accident, like, with the first prints. I'm like, oh, these look great. And then everything, like, blue, dark blue. It's just, I wasn't getting black. And it was just, and I'm holding it up to the ones, like, this is the first one I ever printed, and it's black. Why is this one that I just did now not black? So I had to learn the whole process again. And it's not a fast method of printing by any stretch. You know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into blanking a foil and getting all that stuff ready. Because you can't just, like, print it on paper, right?
Right.
It depends what surface it's going to be on. So it might have been black on paper, but it wasn't on foil.
I find it amusing when I, you know, you make a few cryptic tweets and I can read between the lines and, you know, picture you pulling your hair out over getting black.
What hair I have, yes. Oh, yes. The calm demeanor goes away when I'm by myself. If these walls could talk, they'd be like, oh, he's not very calm and never curses at all. I go pure sailor mode because I just expect things to work. I put in the work to try to do it, and then they don't. And that doesn't sit well with me, so. And a lot of times I'm doing it for other people, and I can't just say, well, they're going to think it's okay.
You've got, like, a reputation to uphold.
Well, it's not necessarily that. I care less about reputation. It's more about someone is entrusting me to do this for them. They're looking for the best thing possible. And while what I'm doing, they might think is spectacular when they get it. If I know it's not my best work, I throw it away. And I get a lot of people when I, you know, when I put, you know, I had X amount of bad prints, people are like, send them to me. I'm like, oh, no. Why would I send out bad things? That's why I redid it in the first place. Yeah. So, yeah, it can be frustrating.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The life of a proxy guy.
It's nothing to envy whatsoever. Trust me.
Okay, boys. Well, let's call it a night.
Okie doke. Right.
We'll meet up again next time. Jason, you're like the KYT of this cast. We'll have to get you to actually talk next time.
I'll have to add in some laugh tracks or something.
It'll be wonderful because when we get both you and KYT on,
it'll
be me and Mike talking for 2 hours. Yeah.
I tried really hard to get KYT for this one, but he's a busy man with a busy schedule. Yeah. So one day the stars will align and we'll get him on.
Speaking of KYT, I'll shout out his patronage, or what is it called?
I think it's Patreon.
Patreon?
Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon.
Yeah, Patreon.
I've contributed. I mean.
Nice.
Meager, you know, that meager entry level, but.
Yeah, every little thing can, every little thing helps. So, yeah, if people want to sign up for his Patreon and toss him a couple of bucks.
What he does. Yep.
Yeah.
I like that our cast gets hosted for free. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully we'll get him on the cast one day and he can tell us what he's doing with all that fat loot that he's getting from Patreon.
Well, he is a big baller, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably going straight to the hosting company.
Yeah, no kidding. Very
nah, it's just straight to the poker budget. That's what it is.
That could potentially grow. That's not a bad idea.
So once again, folks, thank you for listening. Thank you to Mana Deprived for hosting this podcast for free. And just remember, everyone, if you're listening to this, you are the SVU. Cue cool music.